This is Robert Stark. I am joined here with Carol Jean Singh. And I'm also joined here with Jerry O'Neill. He's a state representative from Montana. And we're also joined with one other guest.
Hey, Charles. This is Charles Lincoln. I've been on your show before, I think.
This is Jerry O'Neill.
Yeah, I think you have.
I'm not currently a state representative. I was 2 years ago, and I've been in the state senate here for 8 years prior to that.
But in some ways, I think his biggest accomplishment was you came in with like one third of the vote when you ran for Montana Supreme Court once.
Something like that, yeah. Well, with clerk of the Montana Supreme Court, I came in with 32% of the vote. When I ran for the Montana Supreme Court, they took me off the ballot and they didn't give me back my filing fees.
Well, we're in good company because I think that the amazing thing tonight is that the star of today's show is Carol Jean Singh, because she's facing federal sentencing tomorrow at 1 o'clock in Salt Lake City. And I have to say that I think that this is a very brave and heroic woman we're talking to. She's literally she's a grandmother who's basically looking down the mouth of a lion. And I applaud her courage and her tenacity and her dedication to truth. And Carol, you know, I hate to sound like, you know, some sort of Oprah or something, but how does it feel to be facing sentencing in federal court tomorrow?
It's unreal. There's no way I could even begin to wrap my head around it.
But tell the people a little bit about yourself. You're a PhD in psychology, I believe, from UCLA?
Yes, social psychology. I got my bachelor's at UCLA, and the graduate degrees were at the University of Hawaii. And I'm 75. I'm still working. Most of my time is engaged in environmental technology. We market, sell, and network advanced systems like plasma power plants, plasma lighting, and so forth. And this situation I find myself in is one of the most peculiar I've faced in 75 years. We have a part-time function, which is called a registered agent, which means that you file businesses, nonprofit and for-profit, in the state of Nevada. I was working with a person
Is it with a government department, or it's a private industry?
It's private industry, but it works solely with the state of Nevada. Your function is solely with them. You just file papers, and you accept service for people. And so what happened was, I was working with this fellow in Utah from 2004 to 2006. And
this fellow would be your current co-defendant, Garrett Timmerman, right? And he is a resident of Salt Lake City, and you're not, as I understand it.
Correct. I was the registered agent for his clients in Nevada. And
also for
through
him.
A long story.
You were also his registered agent, right?
Yes, I was. Yes.
What kind of responsibilities does a registered agent have?
They file corporations and for-profit and non-profit in the state of Nevada, and that would include things like LLCs. And also you accept service for them. If somebody should decide to sue them, the papers come to you and then you forward it to them because you're in the state.
But do you actually have any managerial power in any of these companies?
Well, yes, I do. In the environmental companies, in two of them, I'm the president, and one of them, I'm the secretary. In the registered agent company, which also does environmental work and has since 1987, And I'm president of that company. That's where the registered agent function is embedded.
I guess what I was asking is, when you're a registered agent for another company, do you perform any executive or managerial functions in those companies?
No, not at all. All you do is file their papers and send them a list annually to fill out, to renew. And, of course, if they're late with renewal, you send them a default notice.
Now,
you're not an officer of the company, no.
Tell me something. In terms of the evidence that's been presented against you, actual facts, what have they accused you of?
They accused me of colluding with this person, Jared Timmerman, in Utah, to defraud the government by impeding the collection of taxes.
What I mean is, what do they accuse you, and what did the jury find you guilty of actually doing to bring this conspiracy to fruition?
Well, it's hard to say because it was decided on a special verdict, which means that the judge gave them papers and they were to review the papers and fill them out and sign them. And so we don't really know without the special verdict for sure what the jury would have said on their own.
I mean,
Did they accuse you of setting up a website providing inaccurate tax planning guidelines?
No,
Robert,
it wasn't my website. Was owned that I was on talked about registered agent functions. Mr. Timmerman was working with the owner of the website, a fellow named Doug Bringle in Indiana, for his own writings. He put his writings on, I put my writings on, and because it was under our company's name, which is Trioid, T-R-I-O-I-D, they assumed that it was my website, but I did not own it, didn't control the content. It was hosted, and the domain name was owned by Doug Bringle.
But as I understand it, the evidence that was presented against you in trial and the evidence that the jury actually passed on was all about you being a registered agent. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so,
I mean, that's what the evidence showed, yes.
The evidence showed that you are a registered agent, and with regard, and none of the evidence presented against you actually has to do with your role as president of your company, does it?
No, it does not.
And nothing has to do with, none of the indictment has to do with the plasma energy issue either.
No, it does not.
So, Jerry O'Neill, tell me something. Do you see in here any evidence that Carol Jean Singh has committed a crime?
No, I don't see any evidence here that she's committed a crime. I see evidence here that what I've read, and I've read quite a bit of this, that I don't see evidence she committed a crime. She was a licensed or a legal resident agent for corporations, which does not make her involved in her corporation's affairs.
Specifically not their financial affairs, right?
Absolutely not. And nor their tax affairs. Registered agent files papers for these corporations and accepts service for the corporations. And I didn't even realize before I got into this that a registered agent filed papers for a corporation. I thought, but evidently they do, and that's not illegal. I mean, the Secretary of State, you can file from there, go to there, and they'll file papers for your for a corporate soul in Montana. Anyhow, the Montana Secretary of State, you can file online for it, be a corporate soul or a corporation or a LLC. And it sounds to me like Carol was doing a better job. She was helping through that process and giving them more substance to their filings. And therefore, she was providing the benefit to them, but that she was certainly not responsible for what they did tax-wise, or if they defrauded a customer, or if they robbed a bank.
So what is your perspective, then, on why she's being prosecuted?
My perspective of why she's being prosecuted, because her and Mr. Timmerman had, he didn't have a credit card processing machine or an account. And she was naive enough to allow him to send her credit card payments to her, and she would use her credit card processing account to get the funds from the credit card sales, and then she would forward these funds to him.
You say that's what she did wrong, but how is that doing something wrong?
I don't think it was doing something wrong, but this is what got the IRS, or what they used to say there was a conspiracy here. I don't think if she had a chance, she would ever do that again in her life. Because I don't think she did a very good... I don't think she invested in Mr. Timmerman at all. I don't think she felt she had to. But she should have investigated before she did that, because...
Well, let me put it this way, Jerry. Do you feel that Garrett Timmerman has attempted to defraud the U.S. government?
I think there's a good chance he has.
Why do you say that?
Because he's been charged prior to this in another case or two. And then I've started to put two to two together, and it seems like he may not have had a credit card processing account because his credit has been soiled by what he'd done in the past.
Carol, do you have any comment on that?
Well, I was not much involved with what he told his clients or what he did. And when I was in the trial, I saw the documents he was communicating to his clients for the first time. Now, the argument is, because I was his registered agent, we were like Siamese twins, that everything he said or did, I naturally thought or knew about it or even participated in it. And this is simply not true. I mean,
well,
I found out today that one of the things that's going to be hit with tomorrow is a $50,000 fine, because now it's alleged that I'm supposed to have co-written these corporations sold with him in order for me to be fined by what they define as tax evasion. And the registered agent doesn't even see the corporation's sole instrument. It isn't required to be filed with the Articles of Incorporation. And they showed many times during the trial that I received $125 for my registered agent's fee, and that Garrett Timmerman received thousands of dollars for his work in developing the corporation's soul. So the argument that we co-wrote it is not backed up by anything financial, which it would have to be. And furthermore, he writes religious soul. I am pretty much on the secular side, don't know that much about religion. I'm a scientist, and my background is basically in facts, theories, hypotheses, you know, that's this kind of thing. I'm not really steeped in the subject as an expert in the secular world. So it would be very, very unlikely that I would attempt to design an instrument for anyone in a realm that I'm unfamiliar with.
I guess, Carol, you know,
were there,
maybe there's something...
Undercover IRS agents posing as a prospective client who are interested in purchasing a corporation registration from Troyd, from Timmerman.
Yes, there were two. One with Garrett, one with myself. And one came to my house August 29th, 2006. This is a 10-year-old situation, by the way. And he posed as a person in the oil consulting business from Texas. And while he was there, he was filming the house, recording everything that we were saying, also going through my papers when I left the room on my desk. He was opening a bank account online and using my computer. He also recorded the names of people on my desk and described different things that he saw without a search warrant. The same person arranged a sting in Oregon in January 24th, 2007. The same scenario. There were several undercover agents. This was basically what was used in closing, were experts from the information I was giving out, you know, sentences, phrases taken out of context and shown on the screen so that it appeared to be I was saying something that was not in context and could be misinterpreted if you put snippets of information on the screen. One of the biggest factions was that one of the gentlemen asked me a question about the corporation soul, and I told him you would never say that. Well, they redacted it. I had two professionals check it with an extremely rapid head movement up and down as if to contradict what I just said. Now, I didn't know that this wasn't a business meeting. I didn't know it was being video and audio taped. So it would be senseless for me to nod my head as if to disagree with what I just said, because who would I be signaling that to, right? I mean, you would just say what you say. You're at a business meeting. You're not going to give mixed messages. You're just going to say what you're going to say. And that was, they played that over and over and over.
So, Carol,
were they
what's your theory
Were they accusing you of telling the clients that they do not have to pay a federal income tax under their corporation?
Yes, but there is a federal tax law, and it says churches and religious organizations may be legally organized in a variety of ways under state law, such as unincorporated associations, nonprofit corporations, corporation sole, and charitable trust. I'm reading the law. Then it says recognition of automatic tax-exempt status, and they include these unincorporated organizations. They also go on to say that you can organize and operate exclusively for religions, educational, scientific, or other charitable purposes. I do seculars at times under the last category, the last three categories. These are automatically exempt. And all through the trial, I was told that this was false information, but this is coming from Tax Guide for Churches and Religious Organizations, Benefits and Responsibilities under the Federal Tax Law, published by the Internal Revenue Service.
What publication number is that?
I don't have a publication number on my copy, but it's
Jerry, do you have that?
In 1113.
Jerry, do you have that?
Her copy is an earlier copy than the one I have.
What do you have?
I think mine's 1838, but I'm not positive. But I'm not sure that I don't think mine reads the same as hers, because mine's a later version. It reads partly the same as hers does.
What are the different material differences between yours and hers?
I don't think mine says it's an automatically tax exemption. I think it says that corporations, that religious churches and religious organizations could form, do business as corporate souls, but it doesn't say that corporate souls are automatic tax exemption. I think they have to be a church, or under the document I have, I think you have to be a church or a religious organization to be have this automatic tax exemption.
Well, this is what mine says.
Charles, you were saying that the Mormon Church has a status as a corporation.
That was established at trial, actually. That's in the transcript of a pretrial hearing on January 29th of 2015. The judge specifically instructs the attorneys not to mention that the Mormon Church is organized as a corporation sole, quote unquote, because that would confuse the jury. Because remember, this trial was being held in Salt Lake City. Most of the jury pool are probably going to be members of the Church of Latter-day Saints. And so, indeed, if they found out that their church was a corporation sole, chances are they would feel very sympathetic towards corporation souls. And that is one of the ways in which the judge manipulated this case that I find very disturbing. But, you know, I guess I'm still trying to find out from Jerry and Carol why they really think, what they think is at the bottom of this, because either way, it doesn't sound like there's a shred of evidence to me that, in this case at least, either Carol or Garrett was actually engaged in active tax evasion or even passive tax evasion. Jerry, what is the most damning evidence that you see that you've come across?
Well, I think at the time this was happening, I think that the church was automatically exempt. I think since that time, in the last couple of years, I don't know when this happened, that all churches, in order to have a tax exemption, have to be a 501c3, I think it is, or c4, c2, whatever, a 501c something, in order to have their tax exemption.
May I interject something there?
Absolutely.
Certainly.
We cannot file new corporation souls after 2009 due to legislative changes in Nevada. It was reported that some people were misusing the concept of the corporation soul. The state didn't want to get involved in that, so they stopped using the filings for new souls from 2009 on. So for the past 6 years, we haven't filed any new souls in the state of Nevada, which makes this case particularly peculiar because it is a non-issue. The issue is to talk to new people about the corporation's soul. That's the idea.
Well, I mean, I thought
you
that you were...
You can't file new ones, so obviously we're not talking to anyone about it.
Okay.
Well, but
okay.
But you were accused of having basically conspired to defraud the government between 2004 and 2007, I thought you said.
Oh, it's 2006. 2007 was the last contact with an undercover agent. It had nothing to do with Garrett and myself. The sting operation, I was the only one present at the sting. Garrett was not there. I referred one of the undercover agents to Garrett to develop a non-secular corporation soul. But that was the only contact that I had, you know, in conjunction with Garrett and the sting.
So to quote
what
an old
is the thing
Wendy's
about
ad,
the
where
credit,
is the
credit card? What is the thing about the credit card payment? There's something for $4,850 for a creation of a corporation on behalf of HL. Is the HL the name of the corporation?
Yes, that's the name of a person. That person was a paid informant. He was testifying as a paid informant. In other words, it's a setup. He calls me up and he tells me that he wants to open a corporation and a soul. Then after I opened it for him and did all the work, then he wanted to cancel it with the state. The state doesn't take cancellations, and so he basically wanted me to eat the you know, the money that I had been paid to do the work.
Well, I guess, you know, as to that issue and as to everything else, I want to finish the question I was about to ask. What's illegal about that particular arrangement? And in general, where is the beef? You know, where is the complaint that somehow that act would have injured the government, or any act that you actually did would have injured the government?
Well, that was admitted several times, both in pretrial hearings and during the trial itself, that there was no damage nor loss to the government.
And yet they are still seeking, they've got you at, I mean, I guess we need to say a few moments worth about the federal sentencing guidelines for people who are not familiar. 44 to anything above 44 is a death penalty case. Anything under 6 is a misdemeanor level, or, you know, no jail time, even if it's classified as a felony. You know, multiple instances of tax fraud in a case I was involved in Florida recently might get you up to 22. That was a 10-count case. You are currently at level 30, which is closer to, you know, the 44-level death penalty than it is to the level 6 misdemeanor or no jail time. So how are they arguing? And as I understand it, as of today, your attorney has gone back and forth. How are they trying to sustain a level 30, which basically would mean between 5 and 10 years in prison, potentially, and
they're,
incarceration?
They're sustaining a level 30 because they're claiming that that they're not claiming any losses or any restitution is required, but they said that there is, but they're just not claiming it. In other words, there really is losses, but they're not claiming the losses, and they're not proving the losses. They're merely saying that.
Okay, Jerry, why does that strike you as a matter of due process of law?
I think Carol would be a civil case rather than a criminal case. She had no intent to defraud the government or do anything illegal. I think if she might have been confused or something about whether somebody could use a corporate soul, I think a corporate soul is a way for somebody that's tax exempt to file, but I don't think a corporate soul makes somebody tax exempt. And she might have been confused in some case on saying the corporate soul actually made somebody tax exempt, but I don't think she did.
Carol, what do you do? What Carol has always told me, she said, and let me see if I'm quoting this right. Carol has always told me that she said that she told people in advance that any money put into corporate soul was post-tax income, you know, after you'd already paid. Isn't that correct, Carol? Isn't that what you've been telling
me?
Yes,
that's correct. Our directions were always discretionary income, because our point is that a soul is a charity. It's a charity. And so only if you have discretionary income to put into it would you have a reason to form one. And we told this to anyone. We never, ever told anybody not to pay taxes. We referred our clients to CPAs, and they, many, many clients, I mean, you know, several dozen clients were referred to CPAs on request. They would ask me for a referral, and they caught up on their taxes or paid their taxes and simply used them. Or with a new corporation, they started from square one and paid their taxes through the person that they recommended. In other words, they prepared their taxes for them. So there, and on the website, under our name, it says we can refer you to CPAs for your tax issues. We didn't give tax advice.
Well, it seems to me that you are absolutely not guilty of any criminal act. And I don't think you're guilty of any civil act. I don't think any of your clients have reason to come to sue you to get their money back.
Have any ever threatened? Have any of your clients ever complained?
No. The only one was the paid informant who was setting me up, and he was told to do that. But under normal conditions, no one ever did.
Yeah, so I don't think you did anything wrong.
I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, I would go to the mat on that. Under any type of swearing, oaths, or anything else, we never did that. But yet I'm facing a level 30, 5-year in prison, because they're claiming that there really were losses, but they're not going to prove them. But yet they're keeping at that high level because there really were losses, according to them, although nothing was shown. Nothing was addressed. And then on top of this, I learned yesterday, a $50,000 fine based on the fact that they think that I co-wrote the Corporation Soul, which never came out at trial. And in addition, they're requiring a mandatory closure of our company by saying that I have to be relieved of my license to do registered agent work. Well, we're not licensed. We're registered with the state. But still, the implication is the whole business has to close, not just the corporation sole part, but also the corporation itself. All of that has to go. And it was mandatory in italics, mandatory relief of my license. So we've added two new things just recently.
And tell me about the past week. It seems like a lot has been happening in the past week.
Yes.
So basically you've gone through several revisions of the pre-sentence report since last Wednesday or something?
Yes.
Now, what's going on?
I'm not sure of the date in my head, but it was recently.
But it's almost like the prosecution is on a treadmill. Would it be too much to say that the prosecution is desperately trying to salvage this case?
No, that would be accurate, because you wouldn't change. If you had a solid case, you wouldn't keep changing things. You would just say, this is it, and this is the law that's broken, and here's the penalty. But we go all over the map. You know, one, there's no damage, there's no loss. Oh, yes, there is loss, but we're not reporting. We're not making you pay for it. Oh, no, yes, we are making you pay for it. And so on. It changes almost daily. And this, to me, is just manipulation. This is not taking a law and applying it accurately.
Well, the IRS code is famously the most complex law that's ever been enacted anywhere in the history of the world. I've never heard anyone say otherwise. I have heard many CPAs, including my old CPA in Texas, whose, you know, name evokes a certain other lost cause. I used to have an accountant in Dallas by the name of Davy Crockett, and I think that a lot of people who are in the tax business feel like they're kind of in the Alamo, defending against a whole.
Yes.
They're
yes,
defending
very
against
much so.
A massive army attack. But what do you think is going to come of this? And I mean, I take it one reason that's interesting about this conversation, and anyone who's ever been involved in the criminal justice system will realize this, is that any lawyer worth his salt will tell his or her client, you know, to keep their mouths shut and just be as humble and contrite as possible going into sentencing if they've been found guilty. And I guess what's as I said at the outset, I really admire your courage and your determination. You had been asked or ordered, in fact, to confess, and you've never been willing to confess. You've never entered in any sort of plea bargain arrangement or negotiation. Why do you feel it's so important for you to fight this, Carol?
Because if I don't, there'll be many other victims like me. I have no criminal history. I've been accused in this 10-year process of more things than you can possibly imagine. I've lost my passport, even though our businesses are international, because I'm a danger to the community. Why am I a danger to the community? Well, because we think you're a drug dealer, although that is preposterous. Or we think you've committed violent and vicious crimes in and around Salt Lake area, another preposterous accusation. Or earlier, we think you're a paper terrorist. All of these things are just words to demonize you. And if I, as a 75-year-old woman and a professional, can go through 10 years of this and have my family damaged, my clients threatened, my immediate family threatened, losing all kinds of personal property in an unsigned warrant raid, which had nothing to do with the business whatsoever. For example, they took all of my daughter's records for her whole school and her high school annuals, her pictures, things she had created, and I was saving those for her children. When we became adults, they were, in 2007, they were school children. And they took all those. And our daughter is deceased. And I told them that. And one of them, when I asked why he took the fourth grade picture, he smashed her picture with his jackboot because it was on the top of a pile of papers, stepped up to my face, cleared his throat, and spit in my face. I don't want anyone else to ever have to go through this. And if I can provide an illustration by the media of what you go through with these things when you shouldn't be, then maybe I can prevent it from happening to others.
Jerry, what do you think about that?
What do you think they're... I was going to ask Carol one more question. What do you think their political motivation, their main political motivation for going after you is?
Well, as they said in the raid, I discovered through our legal advisors, Legal Shield, that they didn't have a valid warrant. They didn't have a signed warrant, and they didn't have a valid number, and it wasn't filed in the state. I found that out while they were there, and I confronted them with that because they were there 7 hours, and they removed almost all of our personal, records and our heirlooms and things that were valuable to our family. And there were 7 agents in 7 hours taking out box after box after box of our personal things. And when I confronted him, he told me then he got the paper terrorist stuff and about it was under spoils of war that they could take it. But in reality, it's a felony to break into someone's home, kidnap them, hold them at gunpoint. They were armed, steal their stuff. That's a felony. And I think what they've tried to do very hard is to push me in a position of confession so that they'll be off the hook.
Was this the IRS their enforcement? Was this the IRS or another department?
IRS.
Jerry,
IRS,
what's your
CID from Oregon?
CID, what does CID mean?
Criminal Investigation Division.
Okay. Jerry, I mean, I think you and I have both heard of stories like this, but what do you think? I mean, is the IRS worse than any other part of the government right now, or is this all part of the whole Patriot Act, NDAA, new world we live in?
Well, I am waiting for Carol to be either exonerated or, well, exonerated, and then I'm hoping that you and I can put together a civil rights complaint against these federal agents and sue them for their whatever. And it looks to me like we're going to have a good lawsuit against them.
Well,
Carol
they certainly are operating outside the law, and I know if I did that, if I got a bunch of my friends and went up to their homes and broke in and held guns on them and took their personal things, they'd probably have grounds for complaint.
Well, that sounds to me like we're going to have our hands full to sue the jerks, and I think we can. It sounds to me like we can do it if you want us to do it, Carol.
Well, I want.
Would Carol have
justice?
Exonerated in order for there to be a civil rights charges filed against those officers?
Some yes, some no. I mean, she can't sue for malicious prosecution unless she's completely exonerated, found not guilty, or it's vacated. But this raid, I mean, I don't know if the statute of limitations has run on it or not. The Bivens Federal Tort Claims Act is a little bit unclear on that when there's an ongoing prosecution. Basically, I mean, there might be a grounds for tolling it. That was in 2007, Carol, is that correct?
May 3rd, 2007, 7:35 a.m. until 1:43 p.m.
We just had the 8th anniversary of that. Amazing. Yeah, I mean, and there was an ongoing investigation of you at all times after that, right?
Yes.
And yet the indictment under which you were recently tried that only was filed in January of 2013?
Yes, it was.
And, you know, what has your lawyer done at this last minute? I mean, can you sort of summarize what his last minute actions have been?
Well, he has filed a comprehensive motion objecting legally to what their position they're taking with the $50,000 fine, the closing of our business, even the part of the 5 years, of course, because the 5 years requires a loss to get it to a felony level. And they've claimed in writing many times there was no damage or loss to the government, but yet they're using the felony level at the five-year mark, level 30, because they say, well, there was a loss, but we just didn't. We're just letting her off the hook. We're not going to address it, but we'll do it in the sentencing. Whatever that's supposed to mean. That's an oxymoron. But anyway, the whole situation is an oxymoron.
And Jerry, I'm just curious. How many stories have you heard of like this relating to the IRS or other branches of the government? I mean, dubious entries, searching property, destroying it.
This is probably the worst one I've heard. I know that the government is a bully, and they throw their weight around when they shouldn't be throwing their weight around, and they don't mind falsely charging somebody. But this is the worst I've heard.
I don't see
the point of it. I don't know what good it would do, you know, to say lock me up, for example. I don't see the point. What would it accomplish? I'm working in very large environmental causes and efforts which are going to benefit the entire planet, and I don't see what the point is. I mean, what would you accomplish by locking up a 75-year-old woman in prison with no criminal history and no loss or damage to the government, and then fining her and then closing her business? What do you expect to accomplish by that, other than just...
Have you been politically active?
Oh, I'm a liberal. I mean, yes, I sign environmental petitions all the time. Yes.
That's not exactly politically.
I work in the green world. Yes.
Okay, but I mean, are you actually a lobbyist or anything like that?
No.
So you have political opinions like everybody, but I think what Jerry means is are you constantly in the public eye? I mean, have you ever run for office or visibly supported any candidates or anything like that?
No.
I was thinking, wondering whether she actually went contrary to our ruling government, the government that's in power right now.
Well, no. The funny thing is, she's actually more in sympathy with the powers that be than you and I are, Jerry.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, if I were to do any deep level deconstruction of this, I've already asked her if her plasma business would lead to decreased profits in the petrochemical industry, and I don't remember exactly what your answer was.
Well, we're trying to get them to work with us because the plasma can gut a coal plant and save the plant and part of it save jobs and continue on in the green sector with a closed-loop system, a non-polluting system. So actually, if you wanted to work with us, it's a win-win.
Well, but you're talking about the plants, not the plant wouldn't be using the same level of petrochemical products.
No, you would be using waste energy in a closed loop system.
Okay, so in other words, new strip mining, new oil exploration would be unnecessary.
That's correct.
And so up to a point, I mean, that is in some sense threatening to I don't know, the Bush Cheneys of the world.
Military
I guess.
Complex or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you say this is coming out more from the IRS in Washington D.C. or more the local, like the localized federal government in Nevada?
No, I don't think it's coming from Nevada. I think it's coming from Oregon, and there may be a Department of Justice involvement, it appears to be. At least one person up there must have an idea.
Now explain, why would it be coming out of Oregon? What interests in Oregon would support this? Because Oregon has the reputation of being a fairly mellow place.
That's where the sting was held, and that's where the IRS agents were located.
Were you doing business in Oregon? Or that's just their headquarters?
No. They invited me up there to speak about Nevada corporations. They paid my way and bought me lunch, picked me up at the airport, and took me back.
And were corporations sold and are corporations sold legal in Nevada at that time or the present time?
Yes. 2007, yes.
And are they still legal in Nevada? I mean, not in Nevada, in Oregon?
I think so. I'm not sure. They can be filed in many states.
You said that they are definitely still legal in Montana, right?
I think they're still legal in Nevada, too. I don't think it's legal to start new ones in Nevada, but I think it's legal to redo your fees every year, to re-up them every year. And I think actually, as a registered agent, I think Carol has a fiduciary duty to her clients to re-up their corporate souls every year.
Yes, that they are renewed.
Were the corporations you renewed? Were they just in Nevada, or they were out of state as well?
The customers are out of state. The registration's in Nevada.
Nevada, like Delaware, is a magnet for incorporations because of generally favorable pro-management laws. Some people say Wyoming is now better than Nevada, but basically Wyoming, Nevada, and Delaware are states where, you know, they're basically more registered corporations than there are people.
Yes.
just one of the peculiarities of how the how different state laws attract people. But anyhow, I mean, it's amazing to think that in 24 hours, you know, we're going to have a totally different perspective because we'll know for sure what's going to happen tomorrow. Jerry, if you were going to make any predictions, what do you predict is going to happen?
I guess my bet would be the judge is going to sentence her to 1 year probation. I don't even know if federal judges do that, so maybe that's a bad guess.
Oh, they definitely do. They definitely do that. They have the power to do that, but they do not have any power. They have no discretion to do that if they sentence at level 30.
I think the judge is going to come off at level 30. Unless the judge is really a witch, like she appears to be, but I can't believe that she's as bad as she appears.
Tell me how she appears to you, Jerry, because that's a kind of an interesting thought. How does she appear to you?
Well, she appears to be a witch because she was talking to the jury foreman without anybody present, and that's illegal. And she has said in their pre-trial that they were not supposed to say that the Mormon Church was a corporate soul. So she's did what she could to stop Carol from putting up a defense. And the special verdict doesn't say that Carol did anything wrong as far as what she did, what the corporate souls were. She just said that she formed or helped form or renew like 30 or 20 or 30 corporate souls, which is, unless they're wrong, something illegal about these corporate souls, then all it is just to saying that she did her job. So it looks to me like that makes her look like a witch. I guess that might be one polite word to say. But I would think if she reads Carol's attorney's paperwork that he submitted today or yesterday, she's got to, if she has any brains at all, she's got to see that Carol's not a bad person and what she did wasn't a bad person. And as far as I can see, I don't know how Carol, the worst thing Carol did was allow this guy to use her credit card machine. And I don't know that this Timmerman is a bad guy or not, but he might be, I don't know. But I think I would advise anybody in the future not to let somebody else use your credit card machine.
If you're not involved in the management of the business.
If you're not indulgent,
well,
correct.
We never viewed him as a bad person. I mean, you know, we're from the islands, so Hawaiian Islands, and we're very friendly and generous and open with people, trusting, and we never viewed him as a bad person.
Well, I think maybe you're too trusting and too naive about when it comes to allowing them to use your credit card machine and take money in for them and forward it to them. I think that
yes.
The reason he didn't have a credit card machine is because he's not so lily white.
Well, I never thought of it that way. I
realize
we were
that.
Just trying to help him out, like we help all kinds of people out. Our entire family is like that. We are always stretching our hands out and helping people, all the time.
Yes, but I think that was, in this case, I think that was a mistake, but it was part of your nature to be a nice person, and this IRS agent wanted to do you in for some reason or other, and he's using your friendliness to do you in.
I don't know, Jerry. Let's make an extreme example here. If she were running credit cards for that fish and tackle club in Brooklyn that John Gotti ran as a front. I can't even remember. It's been so many years. But, you know, he had this fish and hunting club. If she had been running credit cards for that club that was basically Gotti's front, would that necessarily make her a co-conspirator in everything that Gotti did?
I don't know, but there's a chance they would come after her for that, and maybe it would. it's a on some credit card acceptance companies, or the when you sign a contract with them, you say you're only using it for your own purposes. You're not using it for somebody else. I doubt that Carol said that, but the reason they say it is so it doesn't make them a co-conspirator with people they don't want on their credit user credit card acceptance machines. I don't know when you sign up to have a credit card acceptance to a credit card reader and to accept credit cards, they check your credit rating. And
yes,
check
they do.
I don't know what else they check, but I know they check, I'm pretty sure they check your credit rating, and then they'll allow you to accept credit cards.
Well, the thing is, this wasn't exclusively for him, because the registered agent fee and the bank account deposit and the banking fees were in there, too. And I handled that side. So
now,
it wasn't
Carol,
exclusively
I don't know how-
for him.
Carol, I don't know how much more time. Robert, how much? Are we almost out of time?
Yeah, we're basically out of time. So.
Okay, but I want to ask Carol one more. I'd like to ask Carol one more question. This is very important. Now, Carol, you were just approved for crowdfunding. Is that correct?
Yes, it was.
Now, who's doing this crowdfunding?
It's a TV producer.
Out of Baltimore, Maryland.
He just filmed a show for me.
Last week, on our
environmental work.
Is that? Do you have a web address for that, or a television address for that? Anything that people can look it up? Or the name
no,
of the
I
name?
Don't.
How can people?
We're going to be coming out with it very shortly. We were approved last night. I got the message around midnight, and I activated it. And
okay.
I think probably what I can do with Robert's permission is I can get back to him and tell him, you know, when it's totally up and running. Is that acceptable?
You don't know any names or anything in the meantime,
yeah,
in case.
Good.
Well,
do you
what's
the name of the director?
I only know his first name. It's Scott. But, as I said, can I get back to you, Robert?
Sure. Well, I'm going to wrap up the show. And, Carol, is there anything else about your case and situation? And any message you have for the audience before I wrap things up?
Yes, I certainly do. I think that if you are wronged, you've got to stand up. We're all accountable for our own behavior. But we're also, as humans, we want to make sure that others are not harmed by the things that go on. It's almost like fascism. That's what it reminded me of. Like, you know, back in the World War II, and I lived through World War II, back in World War II, that's how it was. It was just tyrannical. And I don't want to see our country going in that direction, where, you know, everything is arbitrary and you can be accused of things and you didn't even do them, and you can go all the way through to where we are today, which is sentencing, on the eve of sentencing, when you haven't even committed a crime. I don't want to see anyone go through that. And so you're providing the forum for the expression of the knowledge that I have of what we've gone through. We all have to stand together to keep our, you know, our freedom and our liberty. We cannot be run over like this.
Well, Carol, as far as this
country
is becoming totalitarian, all I can say is I'm almost tempted to sing, "It's Too Late, Baby, Now It's Too Late."
Well, our population, I think, is strong enough to stand up to this. But the media is the primary factor. When the media notifies people of wrongdoing, and people in the power will take action to correct it. And this is my hope.
I hope you're right, Carol.
It's my hope. I can't guarantee it, but I think the media exposes the problem. It gets out there, and the people that are in charge look at this and say, this is wrong.
it's a noble hope, and I know Jerry and I and Robert certainly support you in that hope, and I hope there's some reality behind that hope.
Oh, I hope so, too, because I would
and
hate
I
to think that...
absolutely hope so. I guess that's...
I would hate to see innocent people being swept off the street, their lives destroyed, their families destroyed, their goals destroyed, even though the goals are laudable and can affect the entire planet. Like, we can slow global warming, and you could just silence people and just accuse them of things that they didn't do, penalize them, you know, harm their family, harm their business associates for no reason in particular.
Wow. No.
I'm going to continue trying to break the monopoly of the legal the bar association, so there's more choice in judges, so maybe we get some better judges in the future.
And I think that's one of the more noble projects that we can all pursue. But golly, it's the country has gone so far the other direction. Anyhow, Robert, thank you for having us.
Well, yes, thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Best of luck tomorrow. I hope things work out for you.
And
well,
we should, if they do, we should
reconvene,
and have if Carol is still free in a couple of nights, we probably ought to reconvene and have a chat about that. How do you think?
Yes, I do.
Sounds like a good idea.
But even if it doesn't work out the way we want it to, I hope that somebody has my back.
We're trying, Carol. We're trying.
Because I face some horrendous threats that have been made to me, and I would not want any of those threats consummated because I couldn't control my space, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Thank you, Carol, for being on, and thank you, Jerry O'Neill, for being on, and thanks, Charles.
Good talking to you, Robert. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
That's all we have for today's show, so take care, and we'll be back with you next time.